Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Hello everyone, my name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the Brouhaha. We may not have a release date for Hot Sauce Committee Part 1, but you better believe it, there is a Beastie Boys podcast, and joining me today, a very good friend, a very special guest, Smooth. Welcome to the Brouhaha.
Hey, thanks Jim.
Can we tell everyone your real name?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, the Smooth thing, I'm a little uncomfortable with it anymore these days. You know, I've been off the scene for so long that, you know, now I go by the name of Troy, T-R-O-Y _ and then period.
So, should we not call you Smooth during this podcast?
No, I don't know. I mean, like, you and me, like, I like, from you, like, Smooth is, I guess, cool still, but man, you're welcome to call me Troy.
Troy was the author of Smooth Files, and Troy also wrote many pieces for Milk It Magazine back in the late 90s.
That's where I was blossoming my creative abilities.
And let me say that you wrote a great review for To the Five Boroughs.
Yeah.
But today, Troy is on, a.k.a. Smooth, for those fans of his back in the 90s. We are going to talk about the best Beastie Boys era ever. And what does that mean to you? Because you said you had three categories and you broke it down. So what are your categories?
So the things that I kind of used when I was thinking about the coolest era, when they were the best and stuff like that, was music. All right, the music itself. And that includes the recorded music, albums and the packaging, the music videos, the web, and then any live performances. All right, so that's all under the umbrella of music.
Okay.
And then I looked at style, their style, anything from clothing to shoes to their haircuts, things like that. Third point is what I call off-court activities, you know?
Wait, what did you say?
It's the off-court activities.
Oh, okay.
You know, kicking it to sports.
Right.
You know, it's coming off the big sports brouhaha. You know, I looked at their off-court activities. So that's important to me, I think, is, you know, as I grew up, matured. You know, looking at what they were doing off the court, or off the stage, or off the recording studio. So those are the three major areas I kind of broke it down into.
So we will talk about that, but before we do any of that, I found out that doing these podcasts is a great way to just talk to friends for a half hour, and it's also a great way for friends to be reconnected with friends. We've had Prof Dion and Rob. And who'd we have on? Wait, who was? Oh, Andy Lacombe from Channel 3. But Troy, you're having a baby soon.
Yeah.
A baby boy?
Yep, a boy.
Now, there's going to come a time when you're a father, you're going to be driving, or you're going to be listening to music while you're cleaning the house. What Beastie Boys song or songs do you think are appropriate for a young baby boy?
Oh my! Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I started listening to. I went through the anthology, the video anthology the other night. Gave some ups and downs on different songs. You know, like some songs would be like going along like full speed, like great, and all of a sudden, you know, and then they drop something in there that's really not appropriate for maybe like a 3 or 5 year old or something like that. So, it was tough. There was all these different things in there, you know. I think definitely Intergalactic fits the bill pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, but the recorded song and the video, I think that would be fun for a kid to watch, you know.
So you, because I was going to ask you, what's the most kid-friendly music video?
You know, I think probably I would say Alive on that.
Yeah?
You know, we have the bright colors represented, mm-hmm. and then we could get into the landmarks, you know, around Manhattan. Things like that, to teach and to learn. We also have just Alive itself has a great message, you know, if you learn to love, then you might love life.
Yeah.
Or if you learn to love, you're in for a surprise. It could be nice to be alive.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a great little message there for, you know, like a 5-year-old kid to learn and start his little journey.
And I think, you know, the fuzzy suits were inspired by Elmo. Because I think it's in one of the commentaries where they decided to wear the fuzzy costumes for MCA's kid. So very kid friendly. I agree. I would go that Intergalactic's fun. Although you might, you know, some violence in there.
Yeah. You know what? It's chill violence though. You know, I think it's fake enough to be, you know, unlike for instance, Body Moving, where there's pretty like graphic violence in Body Moving with the head being cut off.
It's true.
I mean, you know, it's reattached, but and you know, you can make you smile and make happy after that. But I don't know. That's probably won't be until he's at least 12 or something.
All right, so Troy, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the coolest Beastie Boy era ever. So don't anybody go nowhere.
I don't hang out with those guys. Man, I ain't got nothing to do with those dudes. And then I saw your female with them, too. What's up with her?
Yo, check this out, my man. You listen to the Brouhaha.
Yes, we have returned on the Brouhaha. Today, we are joined by Troy, formerly known as the artist Smooth. We will be talking about the coolest Beastie Boys era ever. So quickly, we're going to go through all of the eras. Let's just make this one whole era, the pre-License to Ill era. So that includes the Beastie Boys when they formed as a punk band in their teenage years. This has them playing clubs in New York City. This has them eventually getting into hip-hop music, doing Beastie Revolution and Cookie Puss. I think you can agree that they still had some work to do on the fashion.
You know, I think that real early years, like, you know, when they're in, like, the New York hardcore, like, all black, you know, the black combat boots, like, that's like, a defined style for me. Like, so I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But the closer we get to License to Ill, I think, yes, I would agree with that, yeah.
So you're not digging, like, the big white sneakers and the blue jeans and the big mesh caps?
I think it's more of the, I think it's more of the upper body attire than I have problems with, yes.
So what upper body attire do you have a problem with?
Well, I don't. It's funny because obviously I didn't grow up with the Beastie Boys or anything like that. But I wonder how much of it was like, you know, when I see like Mike D with the big chunky, you know, like Mercedes Benz symbol or whatever it is that he's around.
Volkswagen, Troy. Volkswagen. They're gonna kill you.
Volkswagen. Yes. Volkswagen. Sorry. I don't know. I just don't know the sincerity of that.
Because the next era is the License to Ill era, and that's actually the era where Mike D wore that chunky Volkswagen symbol around his neck. Ad Rock wearing the ball caps. You may remember that the Beastie Boys were pegging their pants. MCA was wearing a leather jacket. The music, can't deny it. You know, very successful, very big beat, old school hip-hop meets big rock sound. So then we go on to the Paul's Boutique era, and this is probably the shortest era in the Beastie Boys' history because they did not tour for Paul's Boutique. And we see, I guess the Beastie Boys sort of live out the Paul's Boutique era, really, in the Hey Ladies video.
Yeah, you just nailed it, Jim. I don't have much to add to that one right there. I mean, and you see more of the coming of age, too, in the style. As they start to pick up, you know, the California influence now.
And I think the Shake Your Rump video is important because that's when they have the fisheye lens on the top of the roof, and that's when they start mugging in the cameras. And I think they take it a step further for their next release. We go into the Check Your Head era, where the Beasties begin touring again. The Beasties break out their instruments, and the Beastie Boys especially. And so what you want, break out some very nice threads. Maybe some of my favorite threads of all time.
Yeah, like the baggy jeans, vintage tees. And, the infamous sock cap.
Oh, the sock! I remember, you know, after seeing that video, I grabbed every sock cap in my house. I'm like, all right, I don't have to save these for winter. I can wear them like all year round now.
I know you definitely did. You know, and I was always so jealous of you, like back in college and in those early days. Still is today, because I cannot rock a sock cap. I just cannot do it.
Well,
you know, it's just one of those things.
I bet you could if you had the right sock cap.
I can't. I promise you I cannot. I've tried. I've tried many times, and I just can't do it. So I have to just stick with the ball cap, I guess.
Oh, yeah, because if it makes you feel any better, I think you pull off the ball cap and the headband better than I do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So we go from check your head into ill communication. To me, ill communication, just an extension of the check your head era. You know, the threads, they're still rocking the thrift store threads.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more adventurous in their thrift store shopping. Both album covers, black and white. Both albums, you know, have a share of hip-hop songs, instrumental songs. Ill communication, a little bit different because it has, you know, the big rock song, Sabotage.
I do agree that it's kind of a carryover, but I do think that it gets a little bit more refined. You know, like in Sure Shot, we see like the golf gear. So we see like a little bit, you know, we see the tux added, which is kind of like a costume of sorts that they kind of we move into Ricky's theme, and we see like the old man style coming out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The more dressing up. So I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that that's kind of the first time we're starting to see them dressing up as alternate type characters.
Music wise too. I don't want to give anything away, but I think the Beastie Boys are near the top of their game at this point. So
I would agree with that, definitely.
So then after Ill Communication, Beastie Boys take some time off, as they're known to do, and we have the Hello Nasty era. They return to New York City full-time. Anything stand out to you from the Hello Nasty era?
Well, yeah, I do think that, like, I'm focusing a lot on style, and I'm just going to kick back in with that again. You know, I do think we see another small change. We see the jeans get a little tighter. Certainly not, you know, skinny jeans or anything like we're rocking nowadays, but we definitely see more fitted type jeans. We see the dark denim come in. We see some of the more European influences come in. I'm thinking that this is around the time when, like, Bathing Ape becomes, like, Mike D's, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, big time, like, you know, clothing choice and more of it like a European type thing, so.
Mm-hmm.
The music, too, like, I don't know if richer is the right word, but, yeah, I mean, just a little bit more of a refined feel to it.
Yeah, because if you put Check Your Head into your stereo, and then you put Hello Nasty into your stereo, Hello Nasty just has a thicker sound.
Like, yeah,
the bass is just thicker in Hello Nasty.
Yeah.
So production-wise, I think they're getting more seriously into it during the Hello Nasty era. And then there's a massive break between Hello Nasty and To the Five Boroughs. But the Beastie, the Beastie Boys were keeping busy. They were playing live shows. They put out the Sounds of Science anthology, where they dressed up in the furry suits. They're doing the Tibetan Freedom concerts. So,
right.
And 98 was the second. Yeah, it was the second Tibetan Freedom concert. So we almost neglected to talk about like their whole getting serious into politics. But did you like when the Beastie Boys were getting into the Tibetan cause?
You know, I think a lot of the causes that they get into are just about raising awareness,
mm-hmm.
you know, and saying, like, hey, generation, whatever music, you know, whatever generation you're from, you need to be more than just, like, for instance, like, grow up, listen to music. You know what I'm saying? You need to, like, be aware that there's injustices going on in the world, you know, and these are some of the ones that we're passionate about, you know, and we definitely see that come through, you know. And I'm okay, too, even with some of the political stuff, I'm usually not, like, you know, like, too much into that, but I'm like okay with, again, if it's about raising awareness and, you know, trying to like educate people. You know, I think it's great, you know, for someone that has exposure like that to take it, because we don't have to just blindly follow what they say. You know, we can, you know, get into it and look it up on our own and things like that. So
yep, and it's amazing to think of MCA during the License to Ill era, License to Ill era and MCA right. in the Hello Nasty era, where he was like he was boys with the Dalai Lama.
Right, I know.
And once again, on the Brouhaha, yeah. we always say that the Beastie Boys are ahead of the learning curve. The Tibetan Freedom Concert, I mean, that was a one-stop shop weekend festival, which is all the rage now. Long before yeah. Coachella and Bonnaroo and All Points West, the Beastie Boys were doing it. So,
right.
something to think about. So there was the six-year hiatus, and then we go into the Two the Five Boroughs era. Where the Beastie Boys start off the era wearing jeans and hoodies and sunglasses and ball caps. In the middle of the era, or I guess I should say the middle and to the end of the era, the Beastie Boys decide to dress up again, this time in tracksuits. They also bring back the jumpsuits mm-hmm. in the Triple Trouble video. Instead of orange jumpsuits, green jumpsuits this time. All hip-hop, sort of an ode to the License to Ill era. And anything stick out for you in the Two the Five Boroughs era of the Beastie Boys?
We see the this off-court activity of this, you know, awareness still coming through in different things. You know, these guys are now raising families.
Yeah.
You know, we even see a little bit at this point. We even see like some of the green and like conservation type things come in, because I know like they were doing like. MCA was trying to do like no bottled water on the tours and things like that. So you have more consciousness coming into the picture still.
And then that leads into the Hot Sauce Committee Part 1 era, which is not officially underway yet. We saw a smidgen of it when the Beastie Boys, they played Bonnaroo last year. They did a couple other shows. Oh, no. I'm an idiot. The mix-up.
Yeah.
How could I forget about the mix-up era?
I didn't know if you were like gonna like just skip over that or what. I didn't exactly know.
No, that's,
you know, you're the host.
That's an era. Like, no, that's an era. They dressed up in shirts and ties yeah. and hats, and they look great.
Yeah. Actually, they brought the skinny tie back before it actually even came back.
Yeah.
You know, because like the skinny tie is like all the rage now, and the Express and the malls and things like that. So.
Yeah, Beastie Boys look great on tour. On many of the tour stops. It was all instrumental music. It was, you know, it was weird seeing the Beastie Boys with instruments rapping songs like Do It and So What You Want. Did you didn't get to see any of those shows, did you?
No, nope.
Okay.
Nope. Last show I saw was probably Philly.
Okay.
See the Five Boroughs tour, Philly.
So if you're talking like, if you love your dress clothes, then... The mix-up may be your favorite era. And if you love smooth instrumental music, then that may be your favorite era. But if you love Beastie Boys lyrics, then that probably not your favorite era. And then, like I said, then we go into the Hot Sauce Committee Part 1 era, which we saw a small glimpse of, but we have not seen the entire beast yet. So, Troy, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we will put our finger on the timeline of the Beastie Boys' history and figure out when they were the coolest, both musically and in a fashion sense. So all of this when the Brouhaha returns.
It's a word that is not really used that much in these days, but I think it really suits me, as well as these guys. It's macho. It's a macho that we have. And how do they used to say it in the kids used to say mucho macho.
Right.
How do you feel about this?
I love sports. I love athletes. I love being a man, but sometimes I love men too.
Hello everyone, this is Scooter Franklin, former announcer of the Hershey Bears, letting you know that you are listening to the Brouhaha. Not a Donnybrook, a Brouhaha.
We have returned here on the Brouhaha, joined by Troy, a great zine writer back in the day, author of The Smooth Files, did a lot of Beastie Boys articles for my zine, Milk It Magazine. The man knows his fashion. The man knows his feng shui. Is that how you say it?
Feng shui?
Feng shui?
I'm not sure I know
feng
it,
shui?
But yeah, that's how you say it.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
You mean like design, you know, like the...
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Like how everything in your house has... There's a certain place it has to be in, and it brings you an inner peace. Or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Every apartment you've lived in, you've had it very well organized. I like the way that you have placed things. And we should also point out that you have a house blog on the internet.
Yeah, definitely.
Is your house fixed yet?
Yeah. Like, I mean, 80% probably.
Okay. Well, you better hurry
up. Something like that.
Because when you have your kid, you're not going to have time to work on your house.
I know this. I know these things. I know.
But is your living room? Is your living room done?
Yeah, it's okay. I always have trouble like, picking apart and stuff like that. You know, because it seems so permanent to me.
Yeah.
It's such a big like decision. I just need to start throwing stuff up on the walls and stop worrying about it. So.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Well, thank you.
At this point in the podcast, we are just going to talk about the coolest era of the Beastie Boys. We discussed the eras. It's tough to discuss in length because so many things happened in those eras. But let's boil it down right now. So if I ask you today, right now, what is your favorite Beastie Boys era? What is your answer?
Oh my goodness. You know, I've actually, like you just said, like there's just so much. There's just so much out there. And I think, though, to answer your question, since you need an answer.
I need an answer.
I think for me, and this is so, like, cultural, so, like, where I was at the time and things like that. But I'm thinking that for me, it has to be 2 to 5 Boroughs era.
Whoa! That's unexpected.
It's almost like a cheat for me because, like, I think of, like, for me, that's when I saw them live the most. I saw them 3 times live during that era.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I got all the songs, you know what I mean? And maybe you're calling that cheating, but I don't know. You know, so I got, like, for the music part of it, like, I got them all. And not only did I get all the music, but I got, like, Mixmaster Mike's, like, remixes of all the music, you know,
mm-hmm.
live and in concert. So, like, their concerts and even, you know, 2 to 5 Boroughs, the album itself, I mean, top, I don't want to say maybe, well, it's definitely my top three.
Of Beastie Boys albums?
Yeah.
So what are your top three Beastie Boys albums?
Well, I would say that my top three are probably Check Your Head, Ill Communication, and 2 to 5 Boroughs.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, and I like a lot, you know, the style at that time, like, it was just about who they were. Like, I love just the fact that, like, in some of the videos and stuff, you can tell it's just like, if you bump into them walking down the street in New York City, like, this is what they'd be wearing, and it's just good. You know, it's classic, it's timeless style, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, the off-court activities at the same time, you know, that's all good stuff. You know, doing good causes and things like that, and I think that's where I'm falling, you know?
Okay. Very interesting. So,
yes.
Where in that era were they the coolest? At the end of the era, at the beginning of that album release?
Well, you know, I think, like, when I'm looking at it, for me, I mean, if I have to pick, like, a time and day, I can tell you June 9th, 2004, the day of the the day of the MTV 2 Show of Bill concert in Las Vegas. And, you know, we got to meet him that day. We got to see a concert from the very front row. You know, I was, like, crushed up against the gate the whole time, but still enjoyed it. You know, so like, everything just culminated, right, you know, at that particular moment to me. You know, so everything just kind of meshed at that time, so.
And because we had Prof. Dion for the first episode of the Brouhaha, and he was saying how we all got autographs. And to me, it was almost like the Wizard of Oz, because each of us had a special item that we had signed. Prof. D,
right.
He wanted them to sign Paul's Boutique album cover.
Right.
I had a picture from the past, the Mike book, which I had them sign. And tell everyone mm-hmm. what you had signed.
Well, I got I don't remember when the Spin covers came out. Probably Hello Nasty.
Yeah, 98.
Spin released, yes, 98. Spin released 3 different covers with each of the Beastie Boys' faces on the front covers. So I had actually bought all 3 of them and then actually ripped the front covers off very carefully and got them each to sign their own.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was everyone sort of had like their own little creative way of getting autographs because you had the 3 album covers. Fuzz had a basketball. And
right.
I'm still kind of jealous of that basketball because they all signed really nicely.
Yeah.
And I'm still disappointed with the marker that I chose. Because we all brought our own markers, too, I think. And my marker was kind of like fat and translucent. And I'm happy with it. But years later, I would have went with like a fat Sharpie. Yeah. All right.
Well, I think the coolest for me was the MCA. He had this like weird look on his face. The MCA actually wrote on the cover. He wrote "Duh!" I think exclamation point, and then signed MCA under it.
Because in my picture, he was holding his stomach, and he wrote a little cartoon bubble and says, "Ouch, my stomach hurts."
Good stuff.
So he had fun. He had fun signing our autographs, or signing his autographs on our stuff. All right.
Yeah.
So Troy, I thought about this. I actually think about this probably once a day. When is the coolest Beastie Boys era? Pre-Licensed to Ill out. Not mature enough yet. Licensed to Ill. A lot of that music still holds up. Off-court activities, like you said, bother me a little bit. And we're going to talk about that on a future episode of The Brouhaha. Paul's Boutique era. Not really an era. Check Your Head. My favorite album of all time. But they weren't there yet. Because they just came back to their instruments. The energy was there, but it wasn't refined just yet. So then they go into Ill Communication, where their live show is just unbelievable. Best live show on the planet, both with the hip-hop and the rock music. I'm going to say the coolest era of the Beastie Boys. I want to say it falls right in between Check Your Head and Ill Communication, but that's not the case. Like the music better on Check Your Head more than Ill Communication, but the coolest the Beastie Boys ever got was during Ill Communication. That was the height of their popularity. They were selling out arenas in seconds. Their style, anything they wore looked cool. And if I had to pinpoint a day, I would say the coolest the Beastie Boys ever got, working their way up to Ill Communication, December of 1994, they play Saturday Night Live, they do Sure Shot, then they do Ricky's theme into Heart Attack Man, and that is them at the top of their game.
Right, yeah.
Mind-blowing. Woohoo! And not saying that they weren't great for Hello Nasty, To the Five Boroughs, or The Mix-Up, but I just think the youthful energy, the years of playing live, they were just a well-oiled machine in December of 1994.
Yeah, and you're not going to get any flack on that answer, because that was my second issue on it, because not only do you have things that you just went over there, but let me throw in, you know, we were rocking the Adidas suede, the Puma suede the whole time during this time. And then off-court activities, what are we doing during this time? Grand Royal, this is when Grand Royal saw its, like, golden years, you know, as the record label. You know, with all kinds of cool, like, independent artists, and then, you know, we had the magazine at the same time. So, yeah, that was definitely a great era.
And it's impossible to talk about everything in like a podcast that is under an hour, but oh my gosh, just even the maxi singles they were putting out at that time, like the B-sides were unreal. And then at the time I loved hip hop music, I loved punk rock music, and I loved the fact that the Beastie Boys gave me both.
Right.
And the Beastie Boys were getting respect from both the hip hop and punk rock communities. And we were in college at that time, and that was, I mean, the Beastie Boys were it. You could go to any college campus in America, you could walk around for 5 seconds, and you could count, like, 20 people wearing Beastie Boys t-shirts. They were it. The coolest. 94.
Yeah, definitely.
You say 2004, which is amazing that there was 10 years in between, and you think that that is their coolest era. And, if anyone would like to argue with us, that is why there is a comment section below on the Brouhaha.
Yep.
To back up your point, Troy, if I went back to 94, because they have done so many changes to the hip-hop portion of their live show, I think if I went back to 94 and I heard their hip-hop songs, I would be disappointed that there would be no beat change-ups in the middle of the song.
Right.
So maybe it's good that, you know, they kind of grew with that. And, I mean, the first time I remember them doing that was at the one Tibetan Freedom concert in Randall's Island when Hurricane was actually switching up beats before they got Mixmaster Mike. And I was like, whoa, I never even thought of that. You could throw in different instrumentals. This is awesome.
Yeah, I was just listening. A good story here. I was just listening to, I can't even remember now what it was. It was the, I don't know, it was one of the live shows. I don't know if it was the Jam Master Jay tribute, or it might have been either the Amsterdam or London show, where Mix Master starts a song out, and I think it's Ad Rock. He's like, what song is this? And Mike D's like, oh yeah, this is, I can't remember what song it is, but it just cracks me up. It's crashed, you know, because he's filling a different beat and he didn't have the set list in front of him, so he's like asking. And that's another thing, the banter with the crowd and the interaction with the crowd is just like so solid. It's just another little thing to throw in there.
So, all right. Yeah. Troy says to the five boroughs. I say somewhere in between the Ill Communication era. I said December of 1994. And like I said, if you would like to voice your favorite era, there's a comment section below. Troy, thank you for joining us today for discussing eras.
My pleasure.
Thank you for all of the articles you've written over the years for Milk It Magazine.
Yes.
And good luck with fatherhood.
Thanks so much.
Yep. We will be back with another round of 20 questions right after this. Yes, sir.
What it is, come check the noise. It's the new black version of the Beastie Boys.
From the Beastie Brothers and the Beastie Boys with their Beastie Toys. You give you some Beastie Joys to put on your Beastie Drawers and show me your Beastie Paws.
We brew, ha ha.
We have returned on the brouhaha. That's a little Lee Scratch Perry, a.k.a. the Upsetter. And there was an article about him in the recent issue of Rolling Stone magazine, and I'm going to read from it right now. And joining me, by the way, is Danny from Modesto, California. Thank you, Danny.
Hey, Jim.
And we've had a tough time coordinating this 20 questions.
Yes, we have.
You've been going to a lot of baseball games lately.
Yes, I have. Big Dodger fan. And, well, the other night when we were supposed to meet, we were unfortunately stuck in Bay Area traffic over the bridge. So we missed our time at that time.
That's okay. But you're here now. Did you get a chance to read the Lee Perry article?
I did not. I didn't even know there was one.
All right. So I'm going to break it down for you right now. Lady Gaga, she's on the cover of the issue of Rolling Stone in which this article is in, if that makes sense. So the deal is Lee Perry, he will poop into champagne glasses and he will leave them around the house. And this upsets his wife. But in the article, it says he defecates in champagne glasses, placing them in cabinets throughout the house or burying them in the backyard. He justifies this habit by explaining that shit and piss are the essence of humanity. And in quotes, he says the rain holds the sky. The rain goes in the water, we swim in the water, we piss in the water, and we drink the water. To live, we must piss and shit the water out. I believe in my piss. I believe in my shit. So, Danny, the question is, do you believe in your piss, and do you believe in your shit today?
And how that is related to the 20 questions, I'm not sure how to answer that, but I will say that I think Lee Perry is certifiable out of his mind crazy.
He is. And we've been talking about the coolest Beastie era of all time. In your opinion, what era were the Beastie Boys just the coolest?
Oh, the coolest Beastie era. That is such a subjective question for so many different personal reasons. I think... for me personally, because I have been a fan since License to Ill came out, but for me personally, right now, being 36 years old, the coolest they were was around the era of Paul's Boutique. But I would say that for most people, they were probably the coolest around 94 when they were in Lollapalooza, mostly because there were people coming out of the woodworks that never really listened to Paul's Boutique or Check Your Head at the time, who were going to Lollapalooza mainly for the Beastie Boys. And everybody seemed to be a fan of them at the time. It was when Grand Royal Magazine came out. It's when I think that they did some of their best B-side work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that for everybody else, probably around the Ill Communication era, even though that's not one of my more favorite albums, but I think that people were just drawn to them at that time, and I definitely think that they headlined that bill with Smashing Pumpkins at Lollapalooza, and people fell in love with them then.
I want to give you a fist pound. My answer was also 1994. That's when the Beastie Boys were the coolest. And because you didn't get to listen to Troy and me and Troy's conversation, we broke it down into three categories. We said music, fashion, and then off-court activities. So taking those three subjects into consideration, do you still think Paul's Boutique is the coolest Beastie Boys era?
Oh, definitely from a musical perspective. There's not much better than Paul's Boutique. Paul's Boutique is the best Beastie album. As far as fashion, though, man, that's a real tricky one. With the pageant, with the Check Your Head era, with the Campus Adidas, which everybody here in Modesto, California was wearing at the time, at least people I hung around with. So fashion, I'd have to give around the Check Your Head. Ill Communication era. What was the other category?
The off-court activities.
Oh, my goodness.
So you could go Melarepafon, Tibetan Freedom Concert, X-Large, Grand Royal.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'd almost go with License to Ill era. For some of the debauchery that they, you know, MTV Spring Break Throwdown and the dating game on MTV, would that be considered off court activities at the time?
Well, if you are down with that type of off court activity, then by all means you can pick that era.
That's funny. I don't know if you could be down with it when you're 12 years old, but it sure was funny.
All right, because the reason Paul's Boutique didn't even raise a blip on the radar because the Beastie Boys didn't tour during Paul's Boutique.
No, they didn't.
It was a mini era. It was a small era, but of course we have the album and we have a few videos that represent that entire era.
Yeah, just living in the Grasshopper's home. I think that's where they were living at the time, weren't they? With the Dust Brothers or whatever the situation was in L.A. It just seemed, in the log cabin, it just seemed like such a free-spirited era with a lot of substances inspiring them, and it was just an amazing album.
Okay, so you say Paul's Boutique, and when you're speaking for the people, you say around 1994,
definitely. Everybody came out of the woodwork and loved the Beastie Boys.
Yes.
In 1994.
All right, so let's get to this 20 questions.
Oh my goodness, I hope I don't screen out. This might get ugly.
So here's the deal. If you answer 20 consecutive Beastie Boys questions correctly, you will win the Beastie-rama. The first question is, do you promise to give the Beastie-rama a good home?
Absolutely. In fact, I showed a picture of it to my daughter last night, and she absolutely wants to put that up in her room. She's only 4 years old, but she digs it. She digs the Beastie Boys. Her name's Brooklyn, so she thinks that No Sleep Till Brooklyn is her song, so it's pretty cool.
Nice, and that's a great name, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We do have a few roles. We ask that you play on the honor system. Since you are at work, I'm sure you have a big old computer in front of you. We're asking you not to look on your computer for answers.
I promise. I will not look at the computer.
Yeah, and if you cheat, you will have to live with yourself for the rest of your life. Just know that. Because there are three Beastie Boys, during this quiz, if you are at all stumped, I will give you multiple choice on at least three of these questions, and that is an A, B, C, and D. All right, you ready to go?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Number one, what's another word for pirate treasure?
Booty.
I would have given you extra points if you said booty. Booty. But booty is correct. Question number two, what is the first song on Hello Nasty?
Super Disco Breakin'.
Super Disco Breakin'. Judges, you are correct. 2 for 2. I don't know if you listened to the last podcast, but the first five questions, sort of easy, just to establish that you're a Beastie Boys fan.
Right.
Question number three, what city was the first Tibetan Freedom Concert held in?
I want to say San Francisco, but can you give me multiple choice on this one?
All right, you're using the multiple choice. All right, we have San Francisco, Washington, D.C., New York City, or Austin, Texas?
I gotta go to San Francisco.
San Francisco. Should have went with your gut. You are correct.
Okay.
3 for 3. You have two more. You have two more multiple choice options. Question number four. Frequent Beastie collaborator who covered Benny and the Jets on the Sounds of Science anthology. Biz Markie, correct. You are 4 for 4. Question number 5. What can be heard in the beginning seconds leading into the song Sure Shot?
A dog barking or a dog howling or growling, crying maybe?
Danny, that's all you need. A dog is correct.
Okay.
I believe the dog is saying, I love you. Roar, roar, roar. We move on to question number 6. On the Get It Together / Sabotage maxi single, what sports team is Mike D representing on his sock cap? Hint, they also made a poster of this picture. And that is the picture where Ad-Rock is sort of pointing right at the camera. And there's a soundboard in the background.
I have that poster too. But it's locked away in anti-dust storage right now. I think it's the Knicks, but give me multiple choice again.
Oh, okay. This is your second multiple choice. We have A, Green Bay Packers, B, New York Knicks, C, Denver Nuggets, or D, Seattle Supersonics.
Well, it's got to be the Knicks because I don't think he would pick another city.
Is that your final answer?
Knicks.
Last week on 20 Questions, Thad went down on the 7th. This week, Danny, you go down on the 6th.
It's the Packers?
It's the Packers.
Damn.
He also wore that cap on an episode of 120 Minutes.
Oh, what's he doing wearing a Green Bay Packers hat?
And I feel bad because it's technically not a Beastie Boys question. If you're not into sports, then you would have no idea what he was wearing on his hat. But if you said the letter G, I would have given you credit for it.
No, you noticed for the last 2 weeks in a row, you bumped me on a obscure question like that. You bumped him on a spelling question. So that's pretty cool, though. It's all right.
But, Danny, if we go through a cycle of people and no one wins the Beastie-rama, like Thad, I will give you another shot.
Yeah, no problem. This was fun. This was fun. You got me on the sports knit cap question.
And we asked the sports one because we prepped everyone last week with the entire sports episode. So we were hoping that would get everyone into the sports frame of mind with Netherlands' big World Cup win today. Sports is on the mind.
It's really bad. I got this poster too. It's the one with the big mixing board in the background, right?
Yeah. And MCA, his snowboard boot or his snow boot is just
right
in front of the lens.
It's an awesome picture, but shoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
Yeah, anytime you see that picture now, it may haunt you.
It's going to haunt me.
But, Danny, thank you for playing.
Yeah, thanks. You're doing a great job with the podcast, man.
Thank you very much. Brooklyn, like I said, if no one wins, maybe she'll have another chance to have that Beastie-rama in her bedroom.
Okay. And, maybe next. Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good.
So that will conclude this episode of The Brouhaha. For Danny in Modesto, California, and for Troy, my name is Jim Shear, and I will see you in later.
That's it, that's all there is. Come on.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha.